And that stuff we're sending skyward is already past 350 parts per million, up around 395 last time we checked. And we're going to check in with someone who's working very hard on behalf of 350.org, works for the political arm of that great organization, 350 Action. Ben Wessel is going to explain why, for the very first time, they have endorsed a candidate for office. And that would be Congressman Ed Markey, who regular folks of this show know has been a champion long time, not just, since it got a little bit more politically correct to support Action on Climate Change. Ed Markey has been there a long, long time. And so we're really pleased to have Ben Wessel on to tell us why Ed Markey has been singled out for support, and also to tell us what's next in regards to the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline protests. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
That's a mouthful. Keystone XL tar sands pipeline protest. Lots of peas, popping peas.
It certainly is, but it's something we've got to talk about a lot.
Absolutely, and it's great to really see a little bit more mainstream coverage. On February 17th, of course, somewhere between 35 and 50,000 people descended on the nation's capital. Some places just gave it a quick, voiceover tape and, gave it less than 30 seconds, but there were a few that covered it a little bit beyond that, actually did some interviews, showed some of Ann Jones's talk and Bill McKibben's great comments as well. Do you think we're making a little bit of headway in penetrating mainstream consciousness about this really critical issue?
Yeah, I certainly do. I think finally we found something that folks can latch onto and get their head around, which is we can go one of two directions. One, we can keep building fossil fuel infrastructure that's going to continue to broil our planet, or we can take a stand right here and right now and not wait for any, sort of policy to make its way through the halls of Congress, but let the president know there's something he can do right now, an action he can take to match up to his words on climate change, and that's rejecting this dirty oil from Canada that would come through the Keystone Pipeline.
Then we're here.
And we've seen the main. Oh,
I'm sorry, we're hearing a little bit of beeping on your end, so it's a little distracting. I want to really hear what you're saying. I don't know if there's something you can turn down or turn off on your phone, but.
Sorry about that.
Okay, just so we can hear you better. So far, so good.
Great.
Yes.
Just going to say, we've seen in recent days some more of the mainstream media really picking up the story here. Tom Friedman had a column in the New York Times saying that he's with the crazy people that are saying we should avoid building this tar sands infrastructure, the Keystone XL pipeline. So maybe we are finally breaking through and people are starting to listen when we are making demands, because we've shown we have real political power, which is exciting for me to see and for us to continue building.
One person who really is breaking through. I saw her on a couple of networks recently, Daryl Hannah, with her new film, Greedy Lying Bastards. We interviewed the director of that film, the co-director, she also was behind it, Craig Rosebraugh, last summer when they first announced the project. And she was up against someone with TransCanada. TransCanada, of course, their position is, this is going to create jobs. It's not going to cause much pollution. And in fact, the State Department came out just about a week ago with a report saying there will not be any significant impact on climate change. Then there was some talk that somebody connected to TransCanada was behind that report. What does 350 know about that?
I think we pretty much know what you know. What we do know is that there were consultants that were working on that report that were also working for big oils, such as Enbridge or TransCanada. But what we also know is that that report didn't say anything new from the State Department. They still aren't paying attention to the facts on the ground that, just like James Hansen, NASA's greatest climate scientist, said, the tar sands in Canada is a bomb of carbon, and the Keystone Pipeline would be the fuse to that bomb. And as James Hansen said, this would be game over for the climate if we allow the tar sands development to go forward. So I think what's great is we have folks like Daryl Hannah, and we have folks like Bobby Kennedy Jr., we have folks like Van Jones and Bill McKibben, who are really centering national attention on what's going on here, in that our government isn't looking out for our best interests, and we have to continue to raise a ruckus until they pay attention to us. So you mentioned, we had almost 50,000 people in Washington. Well, that's one way to get folks' attention. We had people chain themselves to the gates of the White House. That's another way. And here in Massachusetts, where I am right now, we're going to get involved in electoral politics for the very first time, trying to gain attention and a stronger political foothold to make sure that people in Washington are really listening to what voters and what constituents are saying, which is we can't afford this dirty tar sands oil.
And I apologize to listeners. That tweet, for whatever reason, is still in the background when you speak. But we're hearing more of you than it. So tell us about your decision to endorse Congressman Markey.
Yeah, and I'm sorry about that noise. I don't know what, I can't hear it on my end, so okay. I apologize for that.
Well, maybe it's not going out there in the on the internet. I don't know, the World Wide Web, maybe. But this is an unusual step to endorse a candidate, and probably one of the strongest in terms of really showing leadership along with Sheldon Whitehouse on climate change.
Yeah, indeed. I think our decision was motivated by the fact that this election is a real choice. There's one candidate, Ed Markey, who has been vocal against the Keystone Pipeline, and one, Stephen Lynch, who has been a strong supporter of the pipeline and wants to prove it no matter what the ramifications are for our climate future. And so we wanted to take a stand and say, if you are a candidate running for office anywhere in the country, if you support the Keystone Pipeline, you're not safe, and we will organize voters to oppose you. One of the things that's been most tremendous for me to see here in Massachusetts is how many students and young people are getting involved in an election that is sort of atypical. It's a Democratic Senate primary special election at the end of April. So instead of getting involved in spring break, they're registering voters. You know, this election is going to be around finals times, but these students are so enthused about taking on this pipeline and safeguarding their own future that they are organizing. So it's pretty cool. It was a big step for us to endorse, and honestly, I think it has less to do with Ed Markey, although he is a real champion, and more to do with this moment and this time and sending a message that we need to say no to this pipeline.
And, of course, that special election is a result of John Kerry being made head of the State Department, and he is a senator who has also been a leader and very outspoken on climate change. How big of an impact do you think having him in that position, will have on the Keystone decision?
You know, that's a great question. And I think Secretary Kerry, you're right, has been a total climate hawk in the Senate, and already in his tenure as the Secretary of State has been made many statements that are supportive of taking strong climate action both at home and internationally. But we know that ultimately this decision comes down to the president. And the president in recent days has been really strong on climate change, in his State of the Union and in his inaugural address. He's made some great promises that we're hoping to hold him accountable for. So we feel like Secretary Kerry's got, I think he's got the president's ear, and I hope that he's in the Oval Office when this decision is being made. But we know that it comes down to President Obama. And that's why we want to show him that voters care, because if he wants to enact his agenda, especially after the 2014 Senate elections, he's going to need the voters on his side.
Ben, I see that you were the former New Hampshire Youth Vote Director for President Obama. Was that first and or second time around?
It was actually just this past election, so I spent much of the last year working my tail off for President Obama because I believe in him, and I think that he's got a real a vision for the future that we can trust. But I also worry that he will be polluted by big oil lobbyists and by voices that are trying to hold him back from doing the right thing. And so, I'm not afraid to say that I support the president, and that his words have been great. We're just relying on him to give us some actions to accompany those words. And one action that he could do right now is reject the Keystone XL pipeline.
And any inside indication of when he will make a decision on that pipeline?
It's kind of a bureaucratic mess, and it's something I grew up in Washington, D.C., and you understand that you can set timelines as much as you want, but what really happens has to do with what's going on in some bureaucracy desk somewhere. We're looking at, right now the State Department released a draft environmental impact statement. They are leaving a comment period open until mid-April. I suggest that all your listeners check out 350.org or Credo Action's websites where you can submit comments to the State Department. After that, we're expecting there to be a 90-day national interest determination period. So we're looking sometime in August or September when we expect the final decision to be on President Obama's desk.
One of the arguments that the spokesman for TransCanada was making is that this oil is going to be, going somewhere to someone, if not, you know, to Texas to be refined for U.S. purposes. What does 350 have to say about that? And what is your best estimate of how many jobs will be created, because we do hear inflated claims by proponents?
Right, right. Well, one of the things that it was great to hear during the break was a spokesperson for Idle No More talking about the great work that they're doing up in Canada. I think the State Department and TransCanada has another thing coming if they think that they're going to build a pipeline either west through British Columbia and lots of First Peoples land, or east through New England, which is a hotbed of climate activism. There's no way this is getting out unless it's going through the Keystone Pipeline, especially if we stop the Keystone Pipeline. I don't think they have a prayer. When it comes to jobs, you know, this is such a bizarre field, because how long does it take to build an actual pipeline? A lot of the jobs that are being talked about are temporary. I mean, one latest assessment says it might only be 20 permanent jobs for this pipeline. I think what's more important to think about is if we took the money that was going towards building the Keystone XL pipeline and put it in clean energy infrastructure or clean energy development, that would create, you know, dozens of times of more jobs at the very least, and would also safeguard our future. So honestly, I think the jobs argument is a little silly. And I think it's actually beginning to fall on deaf ears in Washington. People recognize that the people who are hoping to build this pipeline aren't biased, and they're frankly not telling the truth.
Mm. You have a new website for this movement.
We do. So we are operating now at votenokxl.org, which is our campaign that pretty much launched today to take on Representative Lynch and ensure that Ed Markey is the next U.S. Senator from Massachusetts. We're calling it Vote No KXL because this is about so much more than just Ed Markey or Stephen Lynch. It's about a statement about our, as Time Magazine called it, our Selma or Stonewall moment, which we think Keystone Pipeline is. We're telling people to stand up and say no to the Keystone Pipeline, and they've done it before by going to rallies, they've done it by getting arrested, and now they're going to do it by going to the ballot box, which is something, you know, I think that the environmental movement is moving towards, creating new front lines on the fight against fossil fuel infrastructure, whether it's rallies or it's submitting comments to government agencies or actually getting out and voting. We have to do everything we possibly can to fight this pipeline and fight for a safe climate future. And luckily, voting only takes 15 minutes.
Well, Ben, I'm really glad you're out there fighting along with Bill McKibben and the rest of the many, many, many members, thousands now probably, of 350.org and this whole movement. But 350 has been, you know, leading up the effort. And, of course, it was great to have Sierra Club as a co-sponsor of the February 17th event. That really was so heartening to see the huge, huge turnout. You know, so many times we've been disappointed when we have, you know, green rallies or climate rallies. We know that there's many more people behind each person who does make the effort to show up someplace, and it was a very cold day, February 17th in the Capitol. And you know, it really maybe exceeded expectations. Would you agree in terms of turnout?
I think we were feeling confident, but when we woke up that morning, just like every other organizer, we had our jitters about what was actually going to happen. Thankfully, we saw an outstanding turnout, and that we had folks coming from all over the country, internationally even. There were some great Canadians against Keystone signs. I think that you'll see the same thing happening here in Massachusetts, that voters will rise up across the state and take a stand for their future. You know, we look to the last time there was an election like this here in Massachusetts. Here's where I get really nerdy, so stay with me. The last time there was an election like this, the last Democratic Senate special primary, there were only about 6,112 voters under the age of 25 that casted their ballots. That was less than 1% of the entire electorate that got out and voted was a student or a young person. So we're counting on people to get up and stand up and be active. And we know that students have been active. We saw dozens, hundreds, thousands of them in Washington on February 17th. And we know that they'll turn out in the ballot box on April 30th.
Ben, we have a caller. Can you stay on with us? And perhaps the question will be aimed at you.
Yeah, happy to do so.
Okay. Caller, welcome to the program.
Thank you. There's one thing that you guys are not talking about that's terribly important. There's actually two things. One of them is, what is the bottom line going to cost for this product at the end of the game? Number one, it's going to be horrendous. And number two is, for every dollar you keep in your community, this is U.S. Commerce Department, you generate $14. So making an indigenous renewable fuel in your community will generate 14 times what you're producing. And no one is talking about that in the 350 movement.
Ben, I'll let you take that.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling in. I think you're right, and one of the things that's been really great to see here in Massachusetts is how folks are talking about how we can use our money more effectively to make a political statement. So some of that might be like what your caller was talking about with even local currencies that are sprouting up nationwide or in different communities around the nation. But another way to do it is to think about, what is our money supporting right now? That's why 350.org has helped launch a big divestment campaign at colleges and universities around the country, because we do recognize the power of money and keeping money invested in things that we want that money invested in, like a clean energy economy, like your caller was suggesting, rather than in dirty fossil fuels. So we've seen students on campuses, over 250 campuses around the country, tell their administration, hey, folks, we pay a lot of money to go to college here, and we don't want that money going to oil or gas or coal. Instead, we want to invest it in smart ways that will create local, good, clean energy jobs and help protect our climate future.
Want to thank Jeff for calling in from Florida and asking that good question. And Ben Wessel, thanks again to you for joining us, taking the time, and also to do the good work that 350.org and 350 Action are continuing to do.
Thanks so much for having me on.
When we come back, we're going to get some good news about Whole Foods taking some leadership on GMOs. We'll be right back.